This week we're talking all about charities wasting money and the ways that they can save it and make their marketing more effective. All this week on the Ruthlessly Efficient Marketing Podcast. As always, I'm James and I'm joined here by Gary Lee.
Good afternoon or morning or evening or whatever it is for you.
And yeah, today we're going to be talking about wasting money. We hate people wasting money. That's what, you know, we're all about ruthless efficiency and we want your marketing money to be as effective and as efficient as it possibly can be. So when we see money being wasted or just not being used in the most efficient fashion, it really kind of winds us up. So that's what we're going to talk a bit about today. And in the number of different places we've worked with a number of different types of clients, it seems to be that charities have, and not-for-profits, have a bit of a problem with this more than many other places. Is that fair, Gary?
I think it is fair. I think we don't want to tar everybody with the same brush, but certainly a lot of the charities I've worked with, and even some of the ones that we've worked with since we've been together, some of it's old school. Some of it's very manual. I think, and we'll come on to that later, but there's a lot of manual elements to it. There's a lot of old school ways of working. It's back in the old days of direct marketing, where a lot of that was very, very manual.
Yeah, and I think it's also because I think it matters a bit more to us, perhaps, because that money they have is so hard for. They have to get that money from donations, from funding, from all these other places. And that's not to say that a small business or, you know, a commercial enterprise is not hard for them to make money. Of course it is. But that charity budget, they have a responsibility to make sure that's yes, working as hard as it possibly can. And I think that's why we feel so strongly about helping them to make sure they do get great results from it.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good place to jump in is charities are generally very frugal. I mean, that's one thing I would say. Certainly what we're not saying is that I don't think any charity I've ever met spends money sillily. So when we say that we think they waste money, it's actually not through want. It's just because it's an accident. You know, we were talking about pictures the other day and it's like an image of someone burning money versus money going down a drain. This is more a situation of money going down a drain because of, you know, maybe the efficiencies aren't there in the business and the processes aren't as modern as they could be. So they worked fine 10 years ago, but there's actually better ways of working now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not about them being, you know, splashing the cash and going out and hiring the highest, most expensive consultants to do every little thing. It's actually about little efficiencies and little areas where large amounts of money get wasted through no fault of, you know, of the charity or the not-for-profit's own behaviour.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the interesting points on that is actually because charities are very frugal, they will often attract people who will, you know, people want to work with charities often because, you know, I think we all do. We it's a good thing to do and it's great to contribute. But often what will happen is that an agency, for example, will go to a charity and offer to do some very cheap work or sometimes even free work. But what normally happens is because it's not the focus of the agency and because it's not necessarily the focus of the charity, because they're not paying a lot for it, the process actually doesn't get done as efficiently and as well as it can be, and maybe they don't understand the charity's values as well. And as a result, the campaigns or whatever it is they're doing, they end up not being very good, and you end up redoing them, and you end up changing them, and it end up costing more than it would have done if they just paid for it in the first place.
Yeah, you've got to imagine, when you do something, if you imagine anything that you do, if you've invested in it, you are way more likely to give it more credit, to take more time with it, to make sure that you get great value from it. But when you get something for free, we've all got it, we've all had something sent to us for free, we've downloaded an ebook or whatever and not bothered to read it, or we've signed up for a free webinar and just not bothered to go to it because, you know, it's free, so who really cares? But when you put some money down, you got some skin in the game and you make sure it delivers a great result. And so the reality is that when you're getting something for free, there is a cost. There's a cost to your time. And free ultimately could cost you money if you don't plan properly and make the most of that. I've worked with a lot of agencies who give away a proportion of their time to a charitable organisation, or they offer discounted rates. And we certainly do offer discounted rates to charities that we work with. But it still has to be a key focus for that business. It can't be something that's given to a junior to work on, or yeah, something that's kind of, okay, we'll do it if we've got a bit of spare capacity, but when we get busy, I'm really sorry, you're not paying, so you get pushed to the back of the line. And so it sort of goes both ways. There's fault on both sides, really. There's an agency not giving it the credit it deserves because they're not really getting paid for it, and there's the charity or the not-for-profit actually not really putting enough of their time and effort and credit into it, because they're thinking, well, we're not paying for it, so it doesn't really matter. But actually they're wasting a lot of resource or getting the wrong advice because they're not getting that stuff done properly.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, look, I know 12 months ago, if you think back to when we first started this conversation, we had this exact conversation, which was we wanted to do something. We wanted to build something into a corporate social responsibility policy. That's a difficult word to say, apparently. And we battled with the, we could just basically offer to do every year free work for a charity, and that could be part of what we wanted to do. Or we could do a full-on massive project for charities that were ongoing, but a massively discounted rate. And we felt that by actually doing a proper project that the charity had to pay for, but was getting a, you know, significant discount on, both sides, we would make sure that he was treated like a normal client. So we, in no way, when we work for charity, do we consider it a free, cheap thing. We run it like a normal client. And because the client's paying for it, we know we get their feedback and the process goes along smoothly. I think that is, you know, as you say, probably there is no such thing as free, because free ends up costing you money normally if you don't run it properly.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what can charities, not-for-profits, do? What can they put in place to make sure that that sort of thing doesn't happen?
I think the key is as you said, is to run it like a proper project. So if they bring on board an agency, so let's say an agency comes to them and says, look, we would like to run a let's say PR, we'd like to run a PR campaign for you. And it's just part of our thing, and we want to do a free thing. And the charity has to go, that's fine, but if you're going to do it, that means I won't be engaging someone else to do this, so you have to do it properly. And if that means I have to pay you a bit, then I pay you a bit. I'd rather do that than not get it. But also, as a result of that, that means you have to understand my values. You have to understand what my goals are, my objectives. You have to treat it like a proper project.
So you've got to do a brief. You've got to, again, make sure you're effectively appointing that person to act for you, even if they're doing it for free. You're absolutely right, they can't be playing at it, and you can't be playing at it either. You can't just be dabbling and saying, okay, well, if it works out, it works out, if it doesn't, it doesn't. You've got to invest time in that, because you will not get results if you don't invest the time in it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
so going off in a completely different direction, a subject you like to talk about, I think, channel paralysis, I think, is something we see a lot with charities. They're in every channel. You see them as soon as a new channel arises. There's a charity presence in there, and it's a case of, do you really need that TikTok strategy? Do you need an expensive Facebook campaign? Just because a media agency says you need one doesn't mean you actually do need one. And this all comes back ultimately to, do you understand who your customer is as a charity, and what they're buying from you or what they're donating for?
Yeah, I think it's dead easy. I mean, this is true for literally any sort of client, any sort of business. But I think especially with charities, there is this idea that we need to talk to more people. The more people we talk to, the more chance of getting more, you know, whether it's donations you're after or whether it's a service-based charity that's selling a product or selling a service, the more people you talk to, the increased chance of getting a client for them. But the danger there is, yeah, you can't be brilliant in every single channel. You can't be great on Twitter and Instagram and have a great SEO strategy and make sure that, you know, you've got a podcast and you're doing every other possible channel that you can think of. Because generally, resources is not high in a charity. It's usually pretty lean. Usually people are wearing multiple hats. They're trying to do multiple different jobs at once. So if they're trying to answer the phones and deal with events and also run all of the social media campaigns, there's a pretty good chance that something's going to fall down in there. So you really do need to pick the most effective and most efficient channels that you possibly can. And this all starts with thinking like your customer. That's what it comes back to every Yeah. single time, is getting back to that position where you really, really know who is that person you're trying to sell to. And it's all right. Sometimes I feel like with charities and not-for-profits, they feel a bit sort of dirty about talking about selling, but they are selling. They're selling a service. It might be an amazing service. It might be an amazing, you know, for an amazing course, and it gives money back to the community and everything like that. But you shouldn't be ashamed to say you're selling to those people. You want them to buy from you. So who is that person? What do they need? What are the challenges that they face, and how are you going to appeal to them, and where are they? Where are they active in social media? Do they find your service through Google search. What, you know, what are those methods that they come to you by? And then that's the place where you need to put all of your effort and all of your energy into. But just pick one. Don't try and do a little bit of everything.
I think this is where it comes back to charity being strong and knowing its customer and telling, you know, even if they're not doing it internally, let's say they're using an agency, telling the agency, this is these are the channels that my customers are in, this is what I want you to work on. And not being pushed by the agency, who often, you know, to the benefit of an agency, to go, oh, well, actually, you should be doing it. We need a strategy for this, this, and this. Well, actually, no. You know your marketplace. You need to be strong. As you say, don't be ashamed of the fact that you are selling. You are selling a service. You are selling a concept, an idea at the end of the day. And you know who you're selling that into and whereabouts they are. So you focus on that and don't let other people distract you.
So the takeaway from that, really, before you do anything else, before you think about what channels you're going to talk about, is get your strategy nailed. Make sure you know your values. Make sure you know exactly who that ideal customer is. And make sure you know exactly where you need to be talking, because then everything else will be more effective and spill out of that. So if you're briefing someone else or you're doing it internally, you're going to be able to get better results from that.
Brilliant. Okay, now I want to talk about another one that I see a lot, and you're a little expert in this area, so I'll ask your opinion on this. Well, I think you're a big expert, but you're a modest man. So, charities have an amazing message, that, you know, there's a lot of commercial businesses out there that try and make a message out of basically selling widgets, and that is not easy. Yeah.
Most of my life, I've spent trying to create stories out of.
Whereas when we work with charities, you've got a brilliant message. You don't have to make that. You don't have to try and engineer the message to be exciting. The message is engaging. People want to talk about it, but I don't feel charities make any use of that at all. They should be the kings of viral. They should be the kings of organic reach, getting out there, because they've got a message that people want to hear about. But it doesn't feel like charities are making the most of that.
I completely agree. I think when we first started working with charities, I was amazed. Maybe that's coming from a B2C commercial marketing background. When you start working with charities, you realise, actually, these people like genuinely mean what they're saying. They genuinely do care. It's not just complete corporate BS. They actually do care. And that, I think, that filled me with a huge amount of, it restored my faith in humanity. It made me want to work more with those people, because, again, it's nice to work with people that genuinely care about what they're doing. And other people get behind that. People love to hear genuine. Authenticity is such an overused phrase, but they are authentic. That's what people that work, you know, the people that work for charities, the work the charities do, the work those non-for-profits do, it is authentic, and it's so, so shareable. And I think that people forget about that stuff. It's the stories of the people you've helped. There's never a shortage of great stories in a charity. Yeah, yeah. I think that's something that people sometimes, they get so caught up in being a charity, that being the benefit, or get caught up in getting done what they've got to get done, that they sometimes forget about the people that they've helped and telling the stories. Or then maybe they feel a little bit grubby about marketing the stories of the people they've helped, because sometimes people don't feel super comfortable doing that. But I think that's that I would just love it if they would just accept that. Don't feel grubby about marketing the work that you do, because what that means is more people are going to see, and you're going to be able to get in front of more people, and you're going to help more people. So the more you tell people about the great work you do, the increased chance you've got of increasing the number of people that you help. So really, by not marketing it, you're actually doing other people a disservice.
Yeah, there is a perfect example of this. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I remember reading about this numerous times. Think of Comic Relief. And on Comic Relief, every 15 to 20 minutes, you see a short video of somebody they're helping. And half the time you're sitting there in floods of tears, because at the end of it, you're watching this whole thing. It's like so-and-so's had this thing. And then a little caption comes up and goes, unfortunately, Liam's now not with us anymore. And you have things like that. But these are incredibly powerful stories that they use every single time. And there's a reason for that, because if you look at the spikes in donations, they come at that exact point. What you've done is you spent 50 minutes being entertained. You've seen, you know, the news readers doing a dance or whatever it is. That's more Comic Relief.
Children in Need.
That's Children in Need, isn't it, with the news readers. But ultimately, you're being entertained for a period of time. And then suddenly someone punches you in the face and reminds you, but by the way, this is why we're doing this. And that's the point you go, oh God, yeah, okay, I'll just quickly text them a tenner now. And that's the whole point. It's those stories. It's those genuine stories. Don't be afraid to share those genuine stories, because those are the things that will grab people's attention. They will. You will quickly forget the dancing newsreaders, but you won't forget the stories, because those are the things that get you to part with cash.
Absolutely.
Oof. So that was quite an emotional one. That
I mean, that's why I think they should bring in a rule where you can give some money at the start and then you can cut out all those bits, because I don't really like the sad bits when I'm watching Comic Relief.
So
I'd rather give you 50 quid at the start and then say, I don't need to watch any of the sad bits. I can just watch Rowan Atkinson doing a dance.
We watched the first hour of the last one with our children and had to pause it at those points because it's quite distressing for them. It's a little bit like what you're suggesting, really, is premium podcast.
It's pay per view, isn't it? Basically,
it is. It's like if I can have a podcast and I'll have 20 adverts during the podcast, or if I pay a monthly subscription, I get it without the adverts. Exactly. And that's really what you're talking about.
Same for Comic Relief. Yeah, you can pay 50 quid and then you don't have to see any sad bits.
And so what we're really saying, the big takeaway, is that any charities out there, if you basically put up some horrendous adverts that really tug at the heartstrings and then below them say donate here and we will filter you out of all future marketing, I think that'd be amazing. I by the way, you can grab that's the clip that we're going to put up online afterwards.
That would be fabulous if it didn't mean, unfortunately, that a lot of charities would have to go back through and manually remove the adverts from a load of other things. And that brings us nicely
to something
that I think is a massive waste of time and ultimately budget for charities, and that is just doing everything manually, doing the same thing over and over again and not putting in place those wonderful automations.
Yes, the use of technology. I have a couple of friends who work at charities, and it is a constant complaint that the technology they use is quite out of date, because again, it comes back, charities are frugal. That's great, they should be, but actually turns out it's quite a false economy when it comes to marketing technology, because what you end up doing is employing people, or two, and by the way, I'm not suggesting for a second that you employ less people. Those people can now be reapplied to gaining money and generating money for the charity. But the point being that too much time is spent and too much money is spent manually doing processes that can actually be automated. And obviously a prime example of that is marketing automation. You know, there is a science that has basically taken the art of manually following up to people who've shown an interest and actually turning that into an automated system that then allows the marketeer time to actually focus on the message, on the reason why people should donate or they should buy your service. And that I think is a key thing that, and it's the classic thing that companies that are trying to save money and not spend money, you know, that's the complete opposite. They're not being ruthless. But they are trying to not spend money. And as a result of not spending money, they're actually ending up just being totally inefficient.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's one of the biggest wastes of time, is just doing the same thing over and over again. And actually, I'd say that a lot of the donation-based charities are reasonably good at that, especially the ones that use the Just Giving is the standard kind of the donation platforms that obviously have built-in automation that allows for a lot of that stuff to happen as it goes along. But I think that a lot of our service-based charities, a lot of the charities that provide services to commercial organisations but do it in a not-for-profit fashion, they're really the ones where I think they miss out on a lot of that automation, a lot of those processes that could potentially make their marketing considerably more effective.
There's a lot of follow-up that doesn't happen. I think that's one of the keys. There's a lot of, you know, the best commercial businesses nowadays, the second they're aware that someone exists, they've shown an interest, they've got a quote, they've used the service once, you will get bombarded. And there's probably an argument for saying that goes over the top sometimes, and it certainly does. But charities miss that opportunity by not having marketing automation in place. Because as soon as someone has taken a service, you know, as you say, there's so many charities and not-for-profits nowadays that deliver a service and the money they generate from that service goes towards the charity. That's where there needs to be massive follow-up. There needs to be automation in there to continually reminding those people that you exist. Because ultimately, the other reason why that's so important is you are competing with commercial enterprises and they are employing these tactics. So that's one of the biggest challenges for a charity that delivers a service, is they are not competing with other charities. They are competing with very aggressive commercial enterprises.
Yeah, and you've got an advantage in that you have this, you know, an ethical advantage, but you have a disadvantage often in terms of budget. So if you're a charity or a not-for-profit and you think you might be wasting a bit of money or not spending it as efficiently as you possibly can, what are 4 takeaways from this podcast that you could put into action tomorrow and improve your marketing process?
Okay, know who your customer is so that you don't waste time on loads of different channels. Ultimately, you probably don't need to play around on TikTok right now. Number 2, sometimes it's better to spend money than to do stuff for free. Or if you can get cheap and free campaigns or work from agencies, make sure you treat them as if you're spending a good amount of money. Make sure they understand the goals of the business, the objectives of the charity, the organization, and that they understand your values. Focus and treat it like a proper paid campaign, I think, is important. Maximize the message you've got. Don't be afraid to pull the heartstrings. You can be the most viral brands out there because you have amazing messages and you need to use them as much as possible. And finally, go for efficiency. You know, we're all about ruthlessly efficient. Well, be as efficient as possible. Introduce good technology that automates as much as possible so that you can focus on the job of the marketeer.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Gary. I hope you found that useful. We really enjoyed talking about it, and we really, you know, we do feel passionately about charities and not-for-profits. We feel passionately about anybody wasting money. We do not like to see marketing money being wasted, and we do, unfortunately, in this industry, we see it more often than we'd like to see, is people spending money that they perhaps don't need to spend, and we just want to make that more efficient. That is what we're here for. So if you'd like to hear more about how we're trying to make marketing more efficient, then just give us a follow. Or subscribe on this podcast. No one's really sure whether it's called follow or subscribe anymore. Apple still hasn't sorted it all out, but you know what to do. Grab your podcast device, click the little heart, the little plus, whatever it may be, and you will always have this podcast with you as soon as it comes out. And if you'd like to find out more about us, then head on over to 33percent.co.uk. That's all the letters and none of the numbers. And you can find out a lot about the workshops and the courses and the various strategy sessions that we also produce. So until we talk to you next time, please keep your marketing ruthlessly efficient.
Goodbye from me.